Turning to the Word of God, reading from the Authorized Version of Holy Scripture in the English tongue, at the chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, at the chapter 25, and we're reading the first 13 verses. On the Lord's Day morning, we read it together, taking your time from me, please. 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And God will stamp with his own divine seating of blessing this reading from his very own infallible book. Turn with me to this 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We have here one of Christ's amazing parables. Anointed mightily with brevity, with beauty, and with power. The word of the message is simple, but the message is sublime. The story of the 10 virgins is told by way of unity versus diversity, and by comparison versus contrast. Christ introduces us to the 10 virgins. I want to take 10 looks today at these virgins. First of all, notice carefully the virgin's similitude. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Notice the common denominator. They were all virgins. Morally, they occupied the same ground. But morality is not of necessity true religion. And the majority of cases, many times, morality is self-righteousness and hypocrisy. It has always been difficult to discern between the false and the true. It is only the second coming of our Lord Jesus which shall divide accurately the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, and the regenerate from the unregenerate. The second coming of Christ found the wise virgins ready with oil in their vessels, and the foolish virgins unready with the failure of their oil supplies. Notice and be warned of their similitude. But the second view of these virgins, there is a dissimilitude. Five virgins were wise, and five were foolish. In the case of five of the ten, they were wise. But in the case of the other five, they were foolish. The five virgins had a willing spirit, but their flesh too was weak. In the case of the other five, both flesh and spirit were perverted, so that their sleep became exceedingly deep, as when a person sleeps a sleep unto death. Thank God the bridegroom came, as in our case, the heavenly bridegroom will come. No matter how long we have to wait, Jesus is coming again. He will not tarry forever. Hallelujah for that. He's coming again. As surely as Christ came the first time, so unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time, without sin, unto salvation. It was the great Mr. Spurgeon who said, "It seems to me that it needs less faith to believe in the second advent of Christ than in his first advent. Christ has been here before." Wonderful thought. So he knows the way to come again. He has been here before and wrought a wondrous work. Surely he will come again to receive the reward of his sacrifice. The good shepherd came to the earth once to lay down his life for the sheep. He will surely come again as the chief shepherd to recompense the under shepherds who have faithfully kept the night watches for him. Jesus will come again, as sure as the bridegroom came after the midnight hour. Thirdly, notice the virgins' decrepitude. They all slumbered, and they all slept. Sleepiness overtook and mastered them all. The wise slept just as well as the foolish. Their decrepitude was similar. Weakness, weariness, and wearing out conquered them all. God's children need to prepare against such sleep. They must watch, not sleep, unto prayer. They must refuse the weariness of the devil with which he inoculates the believer. They must keep awake. They must flee from slumber and give themselves to supplication. Watch and pray, the Savior warns us. Pray without ceasing is another of the divine orders. Only by such praying and such watching Can we escape the temptation of satanic slumbers? Alas, alas, what disasters such sleeping saints have brought to the people of God. Romans 13:11-14 says, "But knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." That's the standard that God expects from us all. Notice fourthly, the virgin's prelude. At midnight there was made a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." At midnight there was a shout which waked both the wise virgins and the foolish virgins together. "Behold, get your eyes open. The bridegroom cometh. His actual coming has arrived. Go ye out to meet him. Get moving." The prelude was the discovery of those who were really ready and those who were not ready. The order of the Almighty is the same in every age and dispensation of the church. The awakening is always first on God's business and first in God's order here. The forces of hell would make our eyes heavy and our hearts heavy. The aim of the devil is to cause the people of God to slumber, to put us out of action, to stop all our operations for the Lord. Oh, let us hearken this morning, believers, unto his awakening command. "Awake my soul, stretch every nerve, and press with vigor on. A heavenly race demands my seal, and an immortal crown. 'Tis God's all animating voice that calls thee from on high. 'Tis his own hand presents the prize to thine aspiring eye. A cloud of witnesses around holds thee in full survey. Forget the step already trod, and onward urge thy way. Blessed Savior, introduced by thee, have we our race begun, and crowned with victory at thy feet, may we lay our honors down. Behold, look, awaken, and see, the bridegroom cometh. Your beloved child of God is at hand. The one who bled for you on the accursed tree is here. He's coming. Do not believe the devil's lie. The Lord is even at the door. Listen and heed this great exhortation. Matthew 24:40. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Go ye forth to meet him. Our faces, brethren and sisters, should be always towards our Lord's return. And we should be always facing towards the place and the time of his return. 1 John 3:2-3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. This attention, this gluing of our hearts and minds and souls upon the Lord's return will have a purifying effect on all our Christian service and Christian living. Old Bishop J.C. Ryle once said, did you ever hear the sound of the trumpets which are blown before the judges as they come into a city to open the assizes? Did you ever reflect how different are the feelings of the people who heard those trumpets? The innocent man who has no cause to be tried in court hears them unmoved. They proclaim no terrors to him. He listens, looks on quietly, but he is not afraid. But often there is some poor wretch awaiting his trial in a silent cell to whom those trumpets are a death knell of despair. They tell him that the day of trial is at hand. Yet a little time and he will stand at the bar of conscience and hear witness after witness telling the story of his misdeeds. Yet a little while and all will be over. The trial, the verdict, the sentence, there will be nothing for him but punishment and disgrace. No wonder the prisoner's heart beats when he hears the trumpet's sound. So shall the sound be of the archangel's trumpet when it sounds to signal the coming again of our Savior. Fifthly, let's look at the virgin's habitude. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. This was the habit they always practiced when they awakened from sleep in the night and prepared to obey an awakening call. Both wise and foolish virgins acted in the same manner. But alas, the foolish virgins could not trim their lamps. Their oil supply had run out. Their hypocrisy had caught up on them at last. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him, will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright? Oh, can we say we are ready, brothers, ready for the soul's bright hope? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Let's take a sixth view. The virgins in truth. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Here we have the miserable attempt of the wicked in the last judgment day to supply their own lack of light and brightness from the just, who will then shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? No borrowed light will lighten the darkness of the wicked on that great and terrible day. Ah, dear lost soul, the trimming of your lamp with no oil will be totally unavailing in that desperate hour. Your sins will have caught up with you at last, and damnation's shadow will be upon you. The attempt of the foolish virgins is to no purpose. It is useless to raise and clean the wick of the lamp when there is no oil for it to burn. Hasty preparation of the soul in the great and tragic judgment hour will all be in vain. Thrice happy is the soul on that momentous day who will prove, like the spouse in Psalm 45, to already be all glorious with him. Seventh look, the virgin's disquietude. The wise answered, and they said to them when they were asked to share their oil, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Solemnly, but abruptly, the wise virgins answered, we cannot sell to you that which is not ours. We have nothing in stock which we can impart to you. We have no righteousness of supererogation which we can give to you. We have no righteousness that we can sell to you. You must have your own. We do not have enough for ourselves and you as well. For we, even at the best, ourselves are unprofitable servants. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 10. Those who have needs must buy for themselves. The only one that can help you is the one that is ample in store. Of him you can buy without money and without price. Oh soul, you will not be able in a few seconds before sentencing to suddenly reverse by your own efforts the fruitlessness of a lifetime of sin. Be in time while the voice of Jesus calls you, sinner. Be in time. The eighth year, virgin's beatitude. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, please note it, they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. If you would know further about that shut door, you need to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. It was Dean Urgent who pointed out, doubtless the saints are God's children. And the dead in Christ are those that sleep in Jesus. And they may be well spoken of office being in their beds. Let's this sense be joyful with glory, says the psalmist. Let them rejoice in their beds. But here is a door that will never be opened again. Why? Because God shut it. And when God shuts a door, no man can open it. Let me remind you of something. God shut the door of Noah's ark, but he never opened it again. Noah had to remove the covering of the ark to get out. Compare Genesis 7:16 and Genesis 8:13. Ninth view, the virgins protrude. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Let me quote you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. But once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. From whence you are, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast talked in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, those that are last shall be first, and those that are first shall be last. The tenth and last view of these virgins, the virgins denuded. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, Verily I say, I know you not. How terrible that God struck those wicked sinners and stripped them of their cover-up and told them plainly, I never knew you. How dreadful the eyes of Jesus burning into your poor, poor, lost soul on the terrible day of judgment. And your whole religious life, unsaved person, and all your profession will be placed in the balances and found wanting. The door is now open. All are welcome. None who come will be turned away. But remember the door, that same door will close, and it will be closed forever. I picked up an old hymn book, the Wesley Revival, last night, and I read these words. Hark, 'tis the solemn midnight cry. Virgins, arise, your lamps prepare. The heavenly bridegroom from the sky doth in the clouds of heaven appear. Go ye who for his coming wait. Those lamps are bright with heavenly flame. He comes to make your bliss complete and show the glories of his name. Not as the bear professing race, whose lump in total darkness hides, but furnished with the oil of grace, arise, ye virgin souls, arise. your sacred unction, there decays. But kindled once remains the same, burning to everlasting days. For God himself maintains the flame. Without the Spirit's work within, profession is unhallowed fire, a name to live while dead in sin, that shall an endless night expire. The Church of Christ, small and great, is slumbering, yet not dead in sin, for they shall hear the Master's call, and with the bridegroom enter in. Will you hear the bridegroom's call? Will you enter in with the bridegroom? Or will you stand without forever complaining that you're a lost and damned soul forever? Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Amen. Let's bow our hands. Father, bless the solemnity of thy word to our hearts. Let us hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. We thank thee for everyone in this service who's rejoicing in sins forgiven. And we pray for those that are lost, that right now, not letting another hour pass, they will close in through the gate and through the door, and be shut in with God's salvation forevermore. Hear this, our prayer for lost souls this day, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.